I want you to imagine something with me this morning. Just think about, what if this happened in your life? What if one day you're at the house and you're just minding your own business and suddenly a knock comes at the door and you open the door up and there stands a stranger with a piece of parchment in his hand. And he introduces himself to you and he tells you that what he's holding in his hand is a treasure map. Not just a treasure map to a vast fortune. He gives you the parchment and you have a chance to look at it, to examine it closely, to ask a lot of questions, and you determine this is the real thing. This is authentic. And then he says to you, I'm looking for someone who will go with me to the treasure. And here's the thing. And if you'll go with me, I'll share the treasure with you. You will be wealthy beyond your imagination. This is an opportunity that will change your life forever because you're going to have resources you never dreamed you would ever have. You'll be able to go places and do things and hold on to things in your hands, and it's going to change everything. Not only that, it's a once-in-a-lifetime adventure. And then he says to you, but there's one condition, and the condition is this: I will hold the map and you will follow me. Wherever I go, you're going to have to follow me without question, absolutely dependent that I know where I'm going. Would you go? Especially if you stopped and thought about the fact that if I'm going to follow, if I'm going to acquire this treasure, that means I'm going to have to leave everything behind. I'm going to have to leave everybody that I love behind. I'm going to have to change my whole life from day to day. I'm not going to know where I'm going to lay my head down. I'm not going to know who I'm going to meet or what I'm going to encounter. All I know is there's a promise that at the end of the trail, there's a treasure. Would you go? Would you go? If you had to trust somebody else every step of the way. Because that's exactly what happened at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Christ walked up to two sets of brothers, first Peter and Andrew, then James and John, and he called to them, follow me. And I believe he called them, follow me, and then he turned and began to walk away. I don't think he said, follow me, let me convince you, let me tell you what I'm doing, let me make sure you understand. Listen, is there anything I can do to convince you? Jesus looked at them, said to them, follow me, and he led the way, and they had to make a decision. What am I going to do with Jesus? What am I going to do with the one who will interrupt me in the very middle of my life and challenge me to go a whole new way? Because that's what he did. In fact, if I had to reduce the message of Christ into just a few words, those words would simply be, follow me. What does it mean to be a Christian? It means to hear Jesus. He says, follow me. What does it mean to be a disciple? It means walking with Jesus. Follow me. What does it mean to please God with my life? It means hearing Jesus as he says, follow me. And it's the call he confronted them with those days. It's the call he confronts us with today. And if we're going to walk as he walks, then we got to be ready to respond to his call. Over these next few weeks through this summer, we're going to be talking about, what does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean to walk where he walks? What does it mean to do our very best to place our feet in the very footprints of the Savior and follow him? And it all begins with that encounter beside the Sea of Galilee when Jesus called out his first four disciples with a compelling call, follow me. So let's jump in and let's see what it means to hear Jesus say to you and to me the same as he said to them, follow me. And the first thing you see is this: follow me is a compelling call. The story we read together this morning is amazing when you think about it. Jesus walks right up to a group of fishermen on the banks of the sea, busy men carrying out the work of a lifetime, and without explanation or hesitation, Jesus calls to them, follow me. Can you imagine how bold? Can you imagine how confident? Can you imagine how compelling to have someone say, follow me? Now, we don't know anything about what kind of relationship these men may have had with Jesus before that moment. It may be that they had been among the crowds of people who had gathered around the sea, who had gone to hear him speak, who had seen the miracles, who had watched the healings, who had some understanding of who he is, so that when he said, follow me, they knew this was somebody special. But it may also be that when Jesus walked up to them beside their fishing boats and issued that call, follow me, it was the very first time they had ever encountered this man. That they had this sense that the Holy Spirit was moving through him in a way they had never seen it move through anybody before. And they recognized we are being called out to follow the one who is the Savior. Follow me. We don't know, but what we do know is this. When he called them, it was a compelling call. To really understand what's going on, there are two pivotal phrases you need to see in this passage. The first phrase concerns Simon and Andrew because the Bible says they left their nets and followed him. Now, what does it mean to say they left their nets? Well, this is what it means. It means to a fisherman, his nets meant everything. There was nothing more important in the life of a fisherman than to make sure he was taking care of his fishing nets. When you read in the Bible about the fishermen, you find that often they're doing exactly what was going on in this passage. They've been out fishing. They've spent a day fishing. They've accomplished their task. They've brought in their catch. And they're tired. They're weary. It's time to go home and rest. It's time to get these fish to a merchant so that they can move them on. And they can go home and rest. But before they did any of those things, what was the first thing they did? They stopped to wash and mend their nets. Why is that? Because his net represented his livelihood. If my net is torn, if my net is broken, if it's not whole, then I can't catch fish. And if I can't catch fish, I can't feed my family. Before I do anything else, I will take care of my nets. My nets are my life. And Jesus calls out to Simon and Andrew, and he says, follow me. And the Bible says they left their nets and followed him. What does that mean? That means these men understood, I won't be coming back again. My life as a fisherman is over forever. From now on, I'm going to be doing something completely new. I'll be following Jesus. And if I'm going to walk as he walks, one of the things I need to understand is when I follow Jesus, I recognize I'm leaving everything else behind. I don't try to follow Jesus and fill my hands up with other things that are precious to me, other things I think I can't do without, other things that I've got to hold on to. I come to him and I simply let go. And I follow Jesus. I leave my nets to follow him. And that's what happened to Simon and Andrew. But a completely different thing happened to James and John. The second phrase simply says this. James and John left their boat and their father and followed him. Can you imagine how hard that was? As far as we know, Simon and Andrew are sitting there together, two brothers mending their nets. This is their life. They take care of one another. When they get up to follow, they get up to follow together. But when Jesus comes to James and John, they're sitting in the boat beside the sea by their boats, mending their nets with their father. Now, how much did these men love their father? Well, let me ask you a question. James and John are the sons of who? Zebedee. Why do we know that? Because in those four verses, they mention his name twice. Matthew mentions his name twice. What does that say? Here's a man who had a close bond with his sons. These boys thought of themselves as the sons of Zebedee. We learned how to fish from our Father. Our Father has trained us for a lifetime to do what He is doing. And the plan is that when He is done, we will continue to carry on the family tradition, the family legacy. We will follow in His footsteps. And now God is calling them, Christ is calling them to turn aside from all of those things and follow Jesus. They had to answer a call to place the Lord before anything else in their lives. Anything or anyone. Follow me. What was Jesus doing? He was issuing a compelling call. He was saying, if there's anybody that's between you and me, if there's anybody more precious in your life than I am, you can't follow. You've got to decide who comes first. And the only one who can come first is myself. When the disciples answered His call, they knew it was all or nothing. Why? Because it was a compelling call. What was the promise? I will make you fishers of men. I'm going to change your life forever. The call of Christ unapologetically interrupts all of your plans and disrupts your secure complacency. What am I saying? When He steps in, He steps in and He says, I'm shaking everything up. I'm going to change your life, and nothing's going to be the same. And not only that, I do it without explanation, without apology, without condition. I simply say to you, follow me. It's a call to radical discipleship, to follow without condition. Follow me. Put everything else aside and follow me. You know, it's always interesting to me when I'm meeting people. You know, Cynthia was talking about meeting Charlie Wilson's son the other day. Let me tell you what an interesting thing that is, what an unusual thing that is. So I served that church 15 years. I left that church 15 years ago. Charlie Wilson followed me there. He's been there 15 years now. Prior to me, there was a pastor who was there for 6 years. He's passed away since then. And prior to him, a pastor who was there for 18 years. That means that that church has 3 living pastors that represent the last half century. And you met one of them. That's pretty astounding. Now you know 2 of them. I need to introduce you to Joe Witt, and you'll know everybody. So, Jesus is calling these guys out to follow. When I meet people the way she did, it's always interesting the assumptions that people have when they find out I'm a pastor. You know, number one is they feel like I'm very fragile. You know, you got to be really careful with these folks. But I find that usually when people find out I'm a pastor, you know what their first assumption is? Well, I must be the son of a pastor. But my dad wasn't a pastor. My dad was a steel worker. They assume that all of my life long, I have been obsessed with church. That I have always been active in church. That I was always a leader in church. That long before God called me, everybody was saying, there's something special about that boy. And they did say that. About my brother. When God called me, folks looked around at one another and said, never saw that coming. The truth is, for a lot of my teenage life, I pretty much lived on the fringes when it came to church stuff. It was good for my brother, it was good for my sister, but you know, I could get all I needed on Sunday, and that's pretty much the way I felt about things for a long time. When people meet me, they assume I volunteered for ministry. That I said, God, please let me do this. But I came in kicking and screaming. Because saying yes to His call meant saying no to my plans. And my plans were pretty firm in that part of my life. The truth is, Jesus Christ invaded everything about my plans for my life when He called me to follow Him. And He called me in spite of my limitations, in spite of my own plans, in spite of my dreams for the future. He changed everything And he never asked me if I liked the idea. But I have to say this. Answering that compelling call made all the difference. And if God offered me a chance to go back to the beginning and change things over and do them my way this time, I wouldn't change a thing. We have to listen to the compelling call. But that wasn't all. The Bible also says that follow me was a confident call. Jesus never hesitated to step in and change their lives. Instead, he confidently called them to become disciples. Jesus didn't just say, follow me. He said, follow me. Follow me. I am the one who will change your life. He challenged them to personal discipleship. Jesus had the audacity to declare he was the only one worth following. When he said, follow me, he was saying, follow me because there's nowhere else you need to turn. Follow me because there's nobody else that can lead you. Follow me because there's no other way to find your way to God. Follow me. That's what Paul describes as the offense, the scandal of the gospel. That Jesus declares, follow me, follow only me. You know, if you ask people about Jesus these days, most people have a pretty positive opinion of Jesus. They don't mind believing he was a special person from God. They don't even mind acknowledging he was the Son of God. But you know what they resent? They resent his claim to be the one and only way to God. People prefer a little variety in their religion. They want to think that every religion is just another way to God. You know, you choose your way, I'll choose my way. You'll get to heaven the way you plan, I'll get to heaven the way I want to. But we like to think that all of us are free to choose our own way, and all of us are going to end up in the same place at the end. And in the face of that kind of relative thinking, Jesus claims to be the only way to God. Follow me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No, wait. Let me say that another way. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And just to make sure that people understood, he then said, and no man comes to the Father except through me. What he means is clear. If you're not going Jesus' way, you're going the wrong way. Doesn't matter what path you've chosen. If you've chosen the path of another religion, it's not going to get you where you need to go. If you've chosen to trust your own wisdom, it's not going to take you where you want to go. If you've listened to somebody else and what they're telling you makes sense, it's still not going to get you where you need to go. If you're not going Jesus' way, you're going the wrong way. And if you don't believe that, your argument is with Christ Jesus. It's not with me. How dare you believe there's only one way to heaven? How dare you declare Christ is the only direction? How dare you? I don't dare anything. He said it, not me. And if you don't believe it, your problem is with him, not with me. So if you're going another way, if you're going your own way, you need to hear the voice of Jesus this morning, the voice of truth saying, follow me. But he's not through yet. Follow me is also a convicting call. When Jesus called these first disciples, he went to them and called them personally. Not one of them doubted he had been singled out. Jesus didn't stand in front of a crowd and say, are there any folks here that'd like to follow me? I'm looking at this crowd, and if three or four of you would like to go, that would be wonderful. No, he went to each of them, and he called them to follow him. His call was always, you follow me. When Jesus called a man, he looked him straight in the eye. And he still does today. Today, if you're here and you're struggling with the call to salvation, if you're here and you don't know him because you're lost, because you've never entered into a relationship with him, and today he's dealing with you, you need to know he is dealing with you. He's not dealing with us. He's dealing with you. He's speaking to you in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, with your needs. It's all about you. See, the call of Christ is the most personal call of your life. When Jesus calls a person to be saved, to step out, to serve him, to follow, he does it in the most personal way possible. You know, this is all about me. This is all about him. I used to struggle with how to explain that to folks, about how to explain that when God deals with a person, he deals with that individual person. The Holy Spirit convicts that individual person. That call is so strong in one person's life that they recognize God is calling me to be saved. God is calling me to rededicate my life. God is calling me to follow him in service. God is calling me to a special ministry. God is calling me. I used to struggle with how to explain that. And then I realized that's not my problem. The Lord does that. When he is dealing with you, you know he's dealing with you. And you also know this, and your response must be equally personal. I have to decide what I'm going to do with his call on my life. I have to decide, will I lay down my nets? I have to decide, will I leave everything behind? I have to decide, will I follow Jesus? Not beside him, not even close to him. Am I willing to try to step in his footsteps and follow him? Because that's his call. That's his call. Follow me. And maybe you're here today and you're hearing that call in a special way. Maybe you're here today and you recognize, I've heard the call before, but I've pushed it away. I've heard the call before, but I told him no. But he keeps calling me. And nothing's going to work until I follow Jesus. Not only into salvation, but in my life. Every day, with every step and every action, will I follow him? Maybe you're here today, and that first call is the most important call of all. He's calling you to salvation. He's calling you to trust him as Savior, to recognize he truly is the way, the truth, the life, but you've never received him as Savior. Maybe today you need to come. When we stand in a moment, you can walk the aisle. You can make a decision to follow Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you recognize that part of his call, follow me, is leading you to this church. I want you to serve me. I want you to follow me as a part of First Baptist Church. And today, you need to come and make that decision. Maybe there's something else God's dealing with. Some other way you need to respond. And today is the day when you know exactly what it is and exactly what he wants you to do. It may involve coming here. It may involve coming to our altar. It may involve making a commitment right where you are. But you know what he wants you to do. Are you willing to trust him? Are you willing to step out? Will you follow Jesus? Let's stand together. Let's sing our invitation hymn.